Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's W3C CCG meeting. Let me double check if the recording and transcription. Okay, it works. All right, so today we have a great session that I've been looking forward to for a month. We're going to talk about verifiable credentials, data model version 2, and we got Brent and Manu here to actually talk about what's new. Before we go there, just want to quickly go through some administrative stuff. So first of all, just a quick reminder on the code of ethics and professional conduct. Just want to make sure that respectful comments and acknowledge each other's perspectives. A quick note on intellectual property. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG work items must be member of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. So if you have any questions in regards to that or the W3C account, just feel free to email or contact any of the co-chairs. A quick call note, all the meeting minutes and the meeting itself is being automatically recorded and the minutes are automatically transcribed. We use GT chat to queue speakers during the call. You can type in Q plus to add yourself to the queue or Q minus to remove. And you can do Q plus to see who's in the queue. These transcriptions and recordings, and actually thanks to Manu, Benjamin, and many others, you can actually see the video recordings as well. We try to publish it within the next 24 hours. All right, a quick moment for the introductions and reintroductions. If you're new to the community or you haven't been active and want to re-engage, feel free to just unmute and introduce yourself. I see mostly familiar faces. So let's go to the announcements and reminders. Any new announcements or reminders? All right, any updates on the work items? All right, a quick shout out to the upcoming meeting. So today we got verified credentials version 2, and then the next Tuesday we invited Leonard from Adobe to talk about C2PA, Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity. And then the Tuesday after that, we got actually the CEO of iProof to talk about biometric authentication and liveness detection. So this topic, we talked about adding a little bit different topics other than just, the verifiable credentials and those kind of topics. And this is one of the tangential identity topics that we bring on. And then after that, we have Andrea from Dime to talk about the Ethereum and post-quantum verifiable credentials. All right, last calls for introductions, reintroductions, announcements, or work items. Cool. So let's get to the main agenda. This is one of the sessions I've been looking forward to for a long time, and we're very glad to have Brent and Manu here to talk about what's new with the verifiable credential data model version 2. So Brent and Manu, the floor is yours.
All right. So my preferred methodology when presenting is if people have questions that I get interrupted. So please don't hesitate to ask questions. I'm going to mostly talk, and Manu, please chime in wherever and whenever you would like. Welcome, everybody. To verifiable credentials version 2, we've been engaged with the verifiable credentials working group. I believe we started in June of 2022. Is that right? Or is it 2021? It's been a long time. 2022, that's right. June of 2022, we were established with our new charter, and basically it... oh, an agenda for the meeting. How convenient. Should have gone over this. Anyway, I'm jumping right into charter. Our charter was pretty straightforward. We wanted to address any errata or bugs that showed up or were reported from previous versions of the data model. We wanted to continue developing that data model and add whatever new properties or change whatever properties were necessary to change. Manage or adjust or create any registries that could support the data model. And our primary task for this round was algorithms for the expression and verification of proofs. This was how do you, secure a verifiable credential such that it can actually be verifiable? As well as we wanted to tweak the multilingual support. So this was what our charter said. This was, I think, directly quoted from the charter text. And what this really meant was, okay, we need to fix the bugs. We need to update the data model. We needed to answer the question, do we want a registry? Do we need a registry? Should we have a registry? And the bulk of the work went into defining securing mechanisms. What also came out of this was a recognition that earlier versions of the data model defined a pretty healthy number of extension points. And these were properties defined in the data model and defined in a very minimal way so that implementers could have a point by which they could extend out and do any number of things. These extension points were everything from, evidence or terms of use or things of that nature. And some of the feedback that we got was while the extension points were excellent and convenient, they also led to challenges in constructing interoperable implementations because implementers weren't sure if the manner in which they implemented the extension point would match the way someone else had because the extension points were not as normatively defined as some folks wanted. So this was the body of work that we had before us, and we've done a lot. We've done a lot. Here's some stats. More than 250 issues have been processed, resulting in more than 260 changes to the spec. We have 55 organizations who are registered as participants in the working group with 118 people representing those organizations. And this is on top of, or, Venn diagram overlap slightly of the 560 people in the credentials community group. This is a large community who cares deeply about trying to do this thing and trying to do it well. And big thanks to the credentials community group for hosting us today, for giving our group a lot of support. We've done some amazing stuff. So what is new? What is this thing and what have we done? The big change is that the previous versions of the data model tried to walk a fine line between, is it JSON? Is it JSON-LD? Well, it could be both. It could be neither. It could be one. We were maybe a little too coy in the past or trying to, maybe it was a little too clear to us what we were doing and not as clear to other folks, but, the very clear feedback that we got from implementers was just pick one. Because if we're using JSON signing mechanisms, we can use JSON-LD. If we want to use the full expressiveness of JSON-LD and all of the power that is enabled there, then some of the halfway steps that we had taken actually kind of inhibited some of that desire. And so the big change is that this is a JSON-LD data model. You don't need a JSON-LD library to process verifiable credentials. The processing can be hard-coded. It can be, done. You can do JSON-only processing of JSON-LD because that's what you can do with JSON-LD. but it is JSON LD. We allow this type-based credential processing. We allow folks essentially to do what they were doing before, but the description of how to do that in the data model, in our opinion, is much clearer. And hopefully avoids and will avoid some of that confusion that we ended up with. So this was number one big change. It is 100% JSON LD. And additionally, we were like, okay, this registry, should we have one? Rather than constructing a formal W3C registry, the Verifiable Credentials Working Group elected to publish a note of verifiable credential specifications. This was to try to better adhere to, you know, some of the desired decentralized characteristics of verifiable credentials. What we've ended up with the VC specs directory is there's a list of specifications that you can use for different extension points, or different credential types have been defined and are listed in the directory. Different securing mechanisms, particularly those that the working group has developed, are listed in the specifications directory, as well as different media types that are related to verifiable credentials. Media types being the, you know, IANA registered official media types. So we don't have a registry. We have a registry light. It's a place where pretty much anyone can say, hey, this is a thing I'm working on. Here's where you can learn more about it. Here's the specification we're developing and all of that. And if that sounds like a registry to you, that's okay. The bulk of the work, as I said before, was developing securing specifications. The biggest and most painfully accurate feedback from earlier versions of the data model was, okay, what exactly does proof mean? How exactly do I use that? And so we've defined a couple. The two families are data integrity, which takes a more distinctly RDF and JSON LD flavor to the approach, and the securing verifiable credentials with Jose and Cose approach, which literally takes the data model as a payload and then envelops it inside of a Cose or Jose object to be signed, so turning it into a JOT using JWS. The data integrity umbrella spec is Verifiable Credentials Data Integrity 1.0, and that's a spec that tells you how to write a Verifiable Credentials Data Integrity spec, of which we have three that are in development: Data Integrity EDDSA, Data Integrity ECDSA, and what I am calling Data Integrity BBS, because that matches the other ones, even though technically this one is called like BBS Signatures 2023 right now, but I'm hoping we can get that name changed. And this took most of the group's time to get these things together and get them to the point where we're thinking we're pretty close to done, if not altogether done with them. Additionally, we have Manu, who'd like to speak. I'd love
to. Just on the previous slide, I think it's important to point out that we're trying really hard to achieve a number of the privacy goals that we've always had in this community. So, like, ECDSA is there because, like, governments like doing digital signatures using ECDSA, and there's like a clear path there from a governmental, you know, approval, hardware security module support perspective. So that's why we're doing ECDSA, is to kind of ensure that we can bring the most widely recognized digital signature format into the verifiable credential space. EDDSA is kind of like the newer way of doing elliptic curve signatures. It's simpler, easier to implement. And, you know, people use it. And then finally, BBS is this, you know, unlinkable, signature scheme, meaning that, it has certain like privacy characteristics that are desirable. People call it unlinkability, but it's this idea that every time you show your credential to someone, the digital signature changes in a way that's still verifiable, but like you can't be tracked using the digital signature, which can happen with ECDSA and EDDSA. We also have like selective disclosure in the data integrity ECDSA crypto suite as well. And, you know, the securing verifiable credentials using Hose and Cozy, there's like SDJOT that exists there for selective disclosure. And of course, people are working on, JWP, which, whose goal is to provide unlinkable signatures as well. So all that to say that, you know, we have spent a lot of time in this round trying to create the technological and cryptographic underpinnings that are going to achieve a number of like the privacy protections that, you know, we've wanted for like beyond a decade at this point. That's it. Just wanted to kind of highlight that, Brent, before going on.
Thank you, Manu. That strikes true for me as well. From pretty much the beginning with verifiable credentials, we have tried to produce something that enables but doesn't necessarily require some of the deep privacy enabling technologies. And with the securing specifications that we're defining, we've just gotten more concrete with that. So pretty excited about some of this stuff. The other bit that we've worked on is, like I said, we have a lot of extension or had a lot of extension points. The ones that we've been able to more formally define are credential status. We have a BitString status list specification that allows you to, or allows implementers to interoperably use this credential status extension point. The credential schema status point, which was included in order to allow implementers to say, here's what I want the shape of the data to be, a little bit more formally than the data model did. We now have verifiable credentials JSON schema specification that provides an interoperable means of doing that. We also have found, and these are now listed in the verifiable credential specifications directory, there's specifications being developed and used for evidence, for terms of use, and for the refresh service. Some of the other extension points, we weren't able to find as much. And you'll see refresh services on both these lists. Because the disposition of these extension points is still a little unsure. Confidence method and render method are much more in that experimental vein. And so what's likely to happen with these extension points in the core data model is they're going to be listed as reserved properties. And say, you know, if you want to build a render method, please consider using the render method property. You know, it should have a type and an ID like all the other properties, but we're not going to formally define how it ought to be done. And it's not officially a part of the specification. Go ahead, Mom.
Yeah. Plus one to that. I thought it might be helpful to kind of point out also kind of what the expectation is around these. So as Brent was saying, like the reason the VC specifications directory exists is to basically, you know, have one place for people to go to kind of understand what's out there, but not, it doesn't have to be the only place. And so we're looking to the community to use these extension points, and experiment with them and deploy things using them, right? So the goal here is that, like, the verifiable credentials working group can set some of the core, stuff here, but we do expect innovation to happen, outside of the working group on each of these, you know, extension points. So, for example, like confidence method, is being contemplated as a way that you can gain confidence in the individual that is presenting a credential. Like, confidence method could have, you know, a key, it's an entry in it that says, if somebody is presenting this credential to you, you can gain confidence that it's the same person that it was issued to, the credential was issued to, by checking this type of digital signature, because this type of digital signature is bound to, like, a hardware security module. Like, for example, it is bound to a person's phone. And if they're able to prove, you know, control over this key using this confidence method, then you have a pretty high assurance, that the individual, is the same one that the credential was issued to. So, like, that's what confidence method is meant to do. People are also looking at confidence method as, like, you know, could we use biometric templates there? Like, ooh, that's scary. But at the same time, some, you know, things like border crossings require that. So confidence method, you know, could hold properties like that. Where it's a, you know, access to a biometric templating service where we don't actually provide a biometric template or anything like that in the confidence method, but it's like a pointer to a service that somebody could use with the consent of the individual, to do that kind of biometric checking. Again, like, that's being done experimentally because that's a kind of a scary thing to work on depending on, you know, where you are in the world. Refresh service is just like, you know, my credential timed out. Can I get a new one? Is there an automated way to do it? Is there a manual way to do it? And then render method is we of course know that issuers want to have control over what a specific verifiable credential looks like. Meaning, like, some of them still want it to look like the piece of paper. Right. The people still want a driver's license to be rendered like the physical driver's license. People still want, you know, an education degree issued by a university to at least have, like, some kind of renderable form. And the render method could be anything from, like, PDF to SVG to, you know, PNG image. And, you know, work continues there. Like, we're clearly not going to be able to define how that works in this iteration of the working group, which is why that's, you know, a CCG work item, currently. Anyway, back over to you, Brian. I thought it might be, some of these might have been new to folks, that hadn't been tracking.
Well, thank you, Brian.
By the way, Kim is also on the queue. So, Kim, do you mind?
Actually, I teed up Dimitri. I wanted to put Dimitri on the hook because he mentioned render method. I know EDU use case is very keen to have some kind of more first class of it. So, Dimitri, if you can, I would be especially eager to hear if, like, you were able to use that specifically and how you're using it.
Thanks, Kim. I commented on it in chat because I'm a big fan, and we are using it at Digital Credentials Consortium, and it sounds like Arizona State University is also interested in using it, as well as a couple of others. Specifically, to answer the very commonly asked use case of, okay, I've got a verifiable credential, how do I print it out? How do I turn it into a PDF, either for online use or to hand it to a person who is not prepared to consume verifiable credentials digitally, that sort of thing. And so that's one of the driving forces, that's one of the major use cases behind render method, as well as there's a couple of others. So, and what we're specifically exploring is the use of an HTML and CSS template that is either linked to from the VC or embedded in the VC. And where you have HTML and CSS, you can easily generate a PDF fairly deterministically. So that's the prototype we whipped up and are testing in pilots. But in general, yeah, happy to ask any questions, answer any questions about it and chat about it forever. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Dimitri. So just to the balance that the VC working group tried to strike in the data model with these extension points was to not just allow but encourage experimentation and use. I would say the primary reason for constructing the verifiable credentials specifications directory was to give a place for folks to, to highlight the things that they're working on and how they fit with the rest of the data model so that other implementers can come along and make use of those things. We wanted to encourage that while at the same time having kind of, the rigorously defined normative standard that is the expectation of something that comes out of the W3C. And so I think we've caught that balance pretty well. But we're also not done yet. Speaking of not done yet, what are the next steps? Where are we at? So this is the list of normative specifications that are currently in process from the Verifiable Credentials Working Group. And hopefully those of you who have been involved with W3C standards and working groups before are looking at this list and going, holy crap, that's a lot of specifications. Yes, most working groups in the course of their 2-year span, I would say 2 or 3 is like the, that's where they go with it. That's what they try to accomplish. This working group has accomplished so much. They have worked so hard and gotten so much done. It's just truly been impressive. And so I'm going to run down these one at a time and let you know the status of them. Verifiable credentials data model is currently in candidate recommendation. What candidate recommendation means is the working group, we think we're done. We think that we have defined it such that it is implementable. We are actively looking for implementation feedback. The expectation with the data model is that after we get this feedback, we will make some adjustments and modifications. And we will re-enter candidate recommendation. We'll go through this phase one more time with the refinements that came through after the first phase. And a hoped for timeline is that that transition to candidate recommendation part 2 will happen sometime in May. Verifiable credentials data integrity, along with ECDSA and EDDSA, are in a similar place. I would say that the likelihood of implementation feedback that results in candidate recommendation phase 2 for these is probably not as, like, the number of changes that need to be made is probably not as large, but there still will be some. And so we expect those to go into a second candidate recommendation phase about the same time as the core data model. Verifiable credentials data integrity BBS is still a working group draft. That means we are still working on it, but it is approaching entry into candidate recommendation. We expect work on that to wrap up, in the next couple of months. Securing verifiable credentials using Jose and Cose, I would say, is in a similar position as BBS. We are working toward addressing the last set of open issues there, and we'll introduce that specification as a candidate recommendation within the next couple of months. Verifiable credentials JSON schema is already in candidate recommendation, and I don't know of any feedback we've gotten that would result in a second round of candidate recommendation. So verifiable credentials JSON schema is actually likely to move forward before the rest of them. And finally, Bitstring status list, again, is in a similar space as the BBS and securing using Jose and Coza, if not even a little further along. That one has been ready for candidate recommendation for a time. We just had to do one more round of horizontal review with it. And once we address the feedback obtained during that horizontal review, that specification will also go into candidate recommendation. Manu, thank you.
Yeah, plus one to all that. So implementations also, like, you know, one of the reasons we go into candidate recommendation is to basically tell implementers, like, hey, this is ready for implementation, like experimental implementation. Tell us how it goes. Tell us to change anything if it was a pain or if you found a bug or whatever. And I think for the vast majority of these specifications, we already have two or more implementers implementing, which is good. Like that, you know, that's where we should be. There are test suites for most of these specifications, as well, but, you know, we're getting to the point where those test suites need to be just done so that implementers can move forward with like absolute certainty that they're going to be, you know, passing, all the test suites. So we do have test suites. We have, you know, implementers implementing against test suites since last year. But now we're getting to the point where we like really have to wrap up the test suites and wrap up the implementations. But I think we have high confidence that VC Data Model 2.0 is not going to have any problems from, you know, implementers. Same thing for many of the data integrity suites, including the selective disclosure and the BBS ones, although those will have, you know, far less implementers than the VC Data Model 2.0 one. VC Hosey Cozy has multiple implementers. Bitstring status list has multiple implementers. I don't know where we are on JSON schema, but it's not a difficult thing to implement. And so, you know, all that to say that, you know, the specs, getting the specs done is very important, but so is, you know, getting the test suites done and the implementers integrated to the test suites so that we can prove to the W3C membership that yes, people implemented the specification and they did implement, you know, all the features in the specification. That's it, Brent. Back over to you.
Thank you, Manu. To build on that a little bit and just to be explicit, the bar that has been set within the Verifiable Credentials Working Group is that for every normative statement in each of these specifications, there must be tested proof that at least two implementers have implemented the feature. And so, yeah, we are building and have built test suites where implementers can come in and interact with the test suite, and that will produce a report for each of the normative features. And if a normative feature doesn't get that level of support, unfortunately, then we would need to pull it out of the specification. Manu?
Yeah, absolutely. And just so people, you know, kind of know where we are from an implementation standpoint, we have 11 implementations. So like way more than two for like at things like core data model and stuff like that. We know that there are probably upwards of 17 to 18 implementers that could integrate with the test suite if they wanted to, and we're currently working with them. I know Benjamin, that's on the call today, is working with a lot of implementers to try to get them integrated into the test suite. So we are very lucky to have this many implementers, you know, at this stage. Like when you look at browser specs, like you're lucky to get two because there are only like really three browsers on the planet that are left. Whereas the work that we're doing here, you know, has much broader, ability to implement the specification. So we're in a really good place from like a engagement perspective. And so if people don't implement certain features, it's a pretty strong sign that like people didn't find the feature useful. It could also be a sign that the feature was too complicated to implement. So all that to say, like, I think we feel pretty good about the number of implementers that we have. We just need to kind of herd all of them through the end of the process, which is always challenging. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you, Manu. Additionally to the normative specifications, we have a couple of notes. The verifiable credential use cases note, which already was pretty darn fantastic, has been getting a pretty thorough overview and revision, thanks to the editors of that and the aforementioned verifiable credential specifications directory. It's possible that the working group will republish the verifiable credential implementation guide, but it is unclear at this point, so it's not officially listed here. So all this to say, a lot has been done. We are really, really close to being finished, and think we are on the right track. And this is where I'm happy to take any questions, any further conversation, wherever folks want to take it. That was the presentation. Hopefully it was helpful. Just turning things back over to Harrison.
Any questions? If you have any questions, just type in Q+ to add yourself to the queue. I have one quick question. Just on the high level, like, what do you foresee the version 3 will cover? Because earlier you guys mentioned that, for example, the proof part, right, the crypto suite, version 2 basically solved the problem. Then what are the high level problems that still needs to be solved?
I'm pausing because there's a portion of my brain that has been actively shut down to prevent it from thinking too hard about what version 3 could look like, because it doesn't want to go there just yet. I think version 3 is likely to, add greater clarity to the extension points. It may more formally, the cheater answer is it depends. We got to version 2 because we had enough implementation feedback and enough industry experience to say, here's where the major gaps are. We can see maybe where some of those gaps could be. I'm not sure is the short answer. Hopefully Manu has a little bit better of an answer.
not much better. If folks don't mind me jumping queue to try and respond, Dimitri, Phil, Kim, is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead. Please. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, what Brent said. So almost certainly, usually when you do a major version, the working group, the next charter will switch into maintenance mode, and that will be the point release. So we'll release version 2.0. And then in version, 1.0 of the other specs, and then we will be put into maintenance mode, which says we're working on version 1.1 of the specification, which usually doesn't allow us to work on any new features. It's just there as like, if we find a bug, we fix it. If there's some kind of horrible issue with the specification, there's an active working group to fix it. So maintenance mode for version 2.1 and 1.1 for the other specs is usually where this goes. And then we gather feedback. There's a quiet period where people go out and they implement and they put it into the world, and then they come back and they're like, hey, this isn't working well, or we're missing this feature. And we kind of gather those up for the version 3.0, work. The version 3.0 work, I would expect like things, extensions like render method, refresh service, evidence, things like that. If we get more of those types of like community incubated specifications or things deployed into the ecosystem, Those would be good candidates. Anything being incubated in, you know, CCG or DIF or ITF or, well, not ITF, but like wherever, like, you know, this incubation can happen wherever. And as long as we have enough people that want to see one of those extension points more formally, standardized, that could be in a version 3.0, place. There is a question around like what do the protocols and query languages and higher level things look like. So, you know, DIF has incubated some work in this space and presentation exchange and that stuff. There is active work like happening right now with the browser vendors around, the digital credentials or identity credentials API. So browser vendors are actively working on, you know, what this looks like in a browser setting. And then there are things like, you know, VC API and verifiable presentation request and that sort of thing. So the protocols are still kind of mushy right now. And I think people are trying to get some deployment experience before we really, you know, commit strongly to one or the other. But there could be a future here where, maybe it's not, you know, on the browser portion of it or the front end, you know, delivery portion of it, but maybe like, you know, VC API focuses very much on kind of the back end, like back office open APIs for issuing, verifying, storing, managing status lists, from an issuer perspective and that sort of thing. So, those are in the ballpark of things that could go into, you know, a next working group. But I would imagine there would be some kind of mandated quiet time for a point release before we get there. Hopefully that was helpful and not too controversial.
Thank you. All right, Dimitri, you're next.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question that may or may not be commonly asked in the coming days, which is from the groups that implemented VC Data Model 1.1, what specifically has changed? What breaks? What do we need to, what are the concrete steps we need to do? We just had this discussion at the Open Badges version 3 group in One EdTech, because They just finalized the spec for VCDM 1.1, but now 2.0 is coming on the horizon, and they had to ask, so what are we doing? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, and happy to share the list that the One EdTech crew came up with. But first over to you.
Sharing that list would be fantastic. The working group attempted to be as conservative as possible with changes. Most of those consisted of either expanding existing extension points, you know, more formally defining them, adding new ones, adding new features and new capabilities to the specification. That said, the way that, you know, fundamental to the nature of a verifiable credential is that it needs to be verifiable. And so the fact that there are now, coming out securing specifications that say, you know, oh, you want to use Jose to secure a VC. This is how you do it. Oh, you want to use a data integrity signature to secure a VC. This is how you do it. And that, will likely impact implementations. Some of the groups that I'm involved with are, you know, specifically looking to use version 2 over previous versions, mostly because of the new features. Specifically, like, there's content integrity stuff in this version that wasn't in previous versions that allows for, you know, integrity, verifiable integrity links to other things. So I don't know specifically of things that are definitely going to be broken. It's likely that there are some. We did our best to minimize those as much as possible. And I'm done. Manu?
Yeah, plus one to that. As Brent said, we were really careful to try not break existing implementation. So if someone has stood up a VC1.1 or VC1.0 infrastructure and they're issuing credentials and all that kind of stuff, they can continue to do that. But like, you know, as long as the verifier accepts those credentials, which there are a number of verifiers that do, all that stuff continues to work just fine. So upgrading to 2.0 is an optional thing. If they do upgrade to 2.0, I think the only breaking changes were that we renamed issuance date and expiration date to valid from and valid until. Like that is it. That's the only breaking change we made. And frankly, like, and that doesn't break existing implementations in the space, because when a V2.0 credential is issued and used, you will use a V2.0 context declaration at the top. And so, you know, it's totally fine. We also went to the extent of making sure that a V2.0 presentation could include a V1.1 credential. Like that works just fine as well. So as Brent said, you know, we expect a large number of issuers, of people in the ecosystem to upgrade to 2.0 because it's got a ton of new features that, you know, are useful. Brent mentioned the content integrity links, the resource integrity links. Like that was a huge thing that people asked for, and that's in there now. The other thing is we now enable you to encapsulate other type of envelope credentials in there. So in reality, you could include credential types that have their own media type that are totally different from verifiable credentials. You could include an MDoc if you wanted. You could include an ACDC protected credential. You could include a Gordian credential. That is now, you know, all possible in V2.0 as well. Now we don't know what that ecosystem quite looks like, but it's possible. I think the good news here, Dimitri, is like we tried to make sure that an upgrade to 2.0 would result in very minimal changes, and I think we were successful in doing that. But the real, you know, reason to upgrade is like you've got a number of interesting new features that, you know, people have asked for. That's it.
All right, Kim, you're next on the queue.
Oh, okay. Thanks, you guys. This is a great presentation. And Brent, may I take a vacation? This is amazing work. I have sort of more a counterfactual question because, you know, so as a not a VC spec contributor, but more of a VC hype man over the years, I've developed my own mental model about like what it would be if we had infinite time. And I think from the start, and there was some talk for a while that it would be a, you know, we wanted to develop a pure data model and then have these different formats mentioned. But then as you were talking about the design decision with Jason LD, I realized like that, you know, a lot of the goals, what you're trying to do, you can't do it if it's a pure abstract data model. Like you have to sort of say, we're picking we want these RDF graph features and whatnot. So we got to go that path. So I was curious, first of all, like, what you're thinking. Well, one, but it specifies JSON-LD, but I was assuming that it could still work. You know, you could serialize a CBOR LD, things like that. But then also, you know, kind of like, if we could start over, what it would be, you know, like how would we have done this, made this clarification early on. And then lastly, like how we expect it to, the VC data model 2.0 to fit in the overall ecosystem, you know, given that there are multiple formats emerging, is it just something that we're going to have to expect issuers to you know, support multiple formats, you know, how do we get alignment? And so this runs afoul of my advice to not think about this stuff, but I am curious about like the overall context and where we go next in that regard.
Go ahead, Mara.
Thanks, Brent. Yeah, that's an excellent question, Kim. I mean, you know, I think one of the things that we asked ourselves regularly in the working group is like, was there another path that we could have taken? So, you know, let's talk about like all the elephants in the room, right? So we definitely have multiple digital credential formats that exist today. We've got, you know, the non-cred stuff, both V1 and V2. We have W3C verifiable credentials. We have, MDL. We have MDoc. We have the new SDJOT VC stuff, which even though it says VC, it's not actually W3C VC. It's something else. These credential formats exist in the world and a number of them are not going away. We're not getting back down to one. Again, like I just don't see that happening. So I think short term, I know our approach, I'm just speaking, you know, with my Digital Bazaar hat on, has been like, we will support any digital credential format that the customer wants us to support, even if we think it's a really bad format, because we are a for-profit company and we like to get paid. And that is the way to keep the customer happy, is to do what they want. We'll advise them that, hey, you know, it's going to cost more money the more of these things we have to support and the more variation there is. But the fact that these things exist in the world today, you know, it's the messy reality is that we have to support more than one credential format. I think anyone that is running a nonprofit or for-profit enterprise, that is the reality on the ground today. Could we have done something in version 1.0 that would have prevented this where we are right now? I don't think so, because I think the natural state for any market vertical is to have options in the space, right? I mean, like, cars have been around for more than 100 years now. We are not down to one kind of car brand or even two. We have, you know, it tends to 50 plus different car brands. Each manufacturer does things in a slightly different way. We have electric cars, gas cars, hydrogen cars, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think the same thing, applies to, you know, our industry. So, you know, what if we picked JSON instead of JSON LD when we started? Or what if we, you know, what we have right now is like all the variations, not every single one, but I think it's important for each, you know, community that's working on these variations to make sure that the thing that they're creating is internally consistent, so that it's easier to implement. I don't know if that answered all of your questions, Kim, but that's kind of my current thinking. Would love to hear other people's, you know, thinking.
I'd like to chime in just a little bit, maybe abuse your car analogy further than you'd like. But, you know, they're looking at the different use cases. You know, there's a big difference between a tractor and a sports car. Even though they both have wheels and they both have engines and they both have, you know, a means of steering them. There's a different intended use, and a lot of the different variations that we're seeing, I think, are an answer somewhat to that. There's also different, one of the limitations that has been placed on and accepted by the Verifiable Credentials Working Group is that we don't talk protocols. And there are a host of existing protocols that Verifiable Credentials kind of, but maybe don't quite totally fit inside. And so some variations are a verifiable credential flavored thing that is, you know, designed to fit on this existing set of rails. It's like, oh, that car thing is great, but I have these train tracks over here. So how do I create this thing that has some of those car-like elements, but can run on these existing rails? And, I think some of the variation that we're seeing is due to those effects. All in all, what we've created with the verifiable credentials in the verifiable credentials working group is not only a set of specifications that, in my opinion, can excellently prepare almost any issuer and verifier to receive and exchange credentials about any number of things for any number of use cases. There are existing uses that folks want to put them to that are slightly different. So in addition to this wonderful set of specifications, what we have produced as a working group is a really compelling conceptual notion of this credential, this vehicle that encompasses qualities of personal control, privacy, and a much more user-centric view of the world. And seeing that view of the world propagate even among all of these different communities, that when the Verifiable Credentials Working Group first started, and even now, a number of them turn and they scoff and they, you know, hold their noses or whatever, they're still making use of the ideas and are compelled to agree that some of these notions are not only great, but potentially inevitable in some, tech circles. And so that's kind of a big rambly way to say the ecosystem is healthy. Where exactly verifiable credentials will fit within that ecosystem is, yet to be seen. I think we've created a pretty fantastic set of specifications. And I'm sure that if not directly built upon, they have at least, distinctly influenced the direction of things for a long time to come.
Actually, I do want to jump to say that is absolutely true. The idea that it's influenced all these other specs and introduced, where maybe it would not have existed, like say the idea of minimizing phone homes and things like that. So yes, definitely huge accomplishment, and take some time off.
All right. Any last question or comments? Phil, do you have more questions or comments? I saw some comments on the chat. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks, Brent. Thanks, Manu, for spending time and jumping on to explain the VC 2.0. By the way, I just want to make a quick comment in regards to the car analogy. I actually really like it. I recently heard the same car versus truck analogy for specialized large language models, and that guy got a lot of VC funding. So apparently the analogy works quite well. So you're not abusing it. But anyway, thank you. This is a great discussion, and this concludes this week's W3CCG meeting. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, everybody.